Last week of Wintersman, some yeshivas, they're already gone. Baruch Hashem, we're still going strong. So I'd like to share some words to prepare ourselves for the upcoming Pesach time period. Specifically, I'm not going to use the word break, explain why in a moment, and what we could do already this week to prepare. The very beginning of this week's Parsha, Sefer Vayikra, very exciting Sefer, starts off, Vayikra al Moshe, that Hashem called to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav, and he spoke to him. Rashi already picks up on this seemingly double Lashon, of Vayikra al Moshe, he called to him, Vayidaber, and he spoke to him. Just say, he spoke to him. And Rashi explains that before every Vayidaber, or Vayomer, or Vayitzaveh, every time that Hashem commanded or spoke to Moshe, the Torah here is teaching us that it was always preceded by a call. Moshe called out his name. He'd make a call, a loving call towards Moshe to begin that conversation. And therefore it says, Vayikra el Moshe, he called out Moshe. And then, Vayidaber Hashem Elav, he went ahead and he spoke to him. And then Rashi continues and says as follows. If you look through the Chumash, if you look through a Sefer Torah, we'll notice that there are breaks, hafsakos, inside the Torah. There are two different types. Sometimes it's represented by a samach inside the Chumash, a big samach. Sometimes it has a pei. Those are two different types of breaks. One type of break, the word stop at one point of the line, and then it's empty space, and the Torah continues on the next line. Other types of breaks stop in the middle, there's a break, and then it ends off again with some words. Different types of breaks. So Rashi says that I would have thought that after every break, before the Torah resumes the conversation, Hashem called out to Moshe again. Moshe, and then it continued. Otherwise, what's the point of these breaks? It must be that it's a break in action that we restart with Hashem calling out to Moshe again. Rashi says, "Vayikra al Moshe, hakol holeichu magia lazna v'chol Yisrael lo shomim." The voice went from Hashem to Moshe. No one else was able to hear it. Yachol af lahavsakos haisakriya. I would think that even for these breaks, there was another call. The Torah comes to tell me that Vayidaber, that it was only when Hashem actually says the word Vayidaber, it says that he spoke to him, only then was it preceded with a call, this loving call, Moshe. But if he had already started, there was already Vayidaber, and then there's a space, a break, there wasn't another call to Moshe's name. Okay? But then Rashi says, well then what's the point of these breaks? Meaning I could understand if you tell me there's these spaces in the lines because it's telling you that that call, that initial call to Moshe's name stopped and there's going to be another call to Moshe's name. I understand why there's a stop in the sentence. But if that's not true, if Hashem didn't again call out Moshe, so then why is there a break in the action? Rashi says, "Umah you have sakos mishamsho." So, what are the points of these breaks? Litein revach leMoshe, to give Moshe space, lihisbonein bein parsha leParsha, gave him the ability to stop and to think about what he just heard and what he's about to go hear. And Rashi says, "Kal vachomer lehedyot." For sure, a regular individual, halomid min ahedyot, who learns from a regular individual, he for sure has to take his time out to stop and to think and to process and to plan ahead. If Moshe, probably one of the greatest students ever, learning from the greatest teacher ever, he had to take, stop, teacher, please stop for one moment. I need to stop, I need to think, I need to process what I just learned. Kal vachomer, a regular student learning from a superstar rabbi, has to go ahead and take time to stop and think, just like Moshe had to stop when learning from God. I think over here, the Torah is teaching us an even deeper lesson, which comes out of this Rashi. And I think the best example of this is the upcoming, what they call Bein Hazmanim. Not like some people say Bein Hazman, it's Bein Hazmanim. Okay? People call it Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim is a terrible, terrible term. Terrible. Why? Let's translate it. Bein Hazmanim means in between the times. There was a time called the winter Zman, a winter, 5 months of learning. And there's another time called the summer Zman, 3 months, 3.5 months of learning. And then there's Bein Hazmanim. It's not the time, it's in between. And that is the month of Nisan when Pesach falls out. So really what that term is saying is that it's not a time. Right? The times are before and the times are after. This is Bein Hazmanim. This is in between the times. It's like nowhere, no man's land. Nothing's going on. It's dead time. Similar to what Rashi was saying before, that we would have thought that the break in the action was just like a stop, nothing going on. And the point of it is to resume afterwards with another call from God. And that's how some people view the upcoming break. They say, I learned hard, I had a strong zman, I went all the way to the end, to Rosh Chodesh, put in all my oomph, gained a lot, Baruch Hashem, grew a lot, learned a lot. Now I stop. And I'm going to resume with another call and another inspiring kickoff shmooze in the beginning of next zman, and I'm going to learn again for 6 weeks, for 8 weeks, for 3 months, whatever it's going to be in the summer. But right now, now is time for a break. It's a nothing to then resume later on. That is incorrect. And the term Bein Hazmanim is incorrect, even though the entire world uses it. And therefore, if you just want to be normal, you should continue to use it. But you should always remember that it's incorrect. What's my proof? If you look at Rav Shach, Rav Shach is one of the greatest Rosh Yeshiva ever. Rosh Yeshiva of the Panovich Yeshiva. Tremendous gadol, the last generation. He has a set of sfarim called the Avi Ezri. It's a sefer on the Rambam, and it's on all of the Rambam. So in the beginning, in his introduction to the Avi Ezri on Kachim, he writes, you might wonder, when did I learn this? You know, he's a Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva. In the yeshivas, they have the general mesechtas that they learn. Gittin, Kedushin, Bava Metzia, Bava Kama, the standard mesechtas. It's extremely rare, actually doesn't exist at all, that in yeshiva they learn Kachim. That section is designated for people later on in their lives learning it. So when did Rav Shach, who was leading this yeshiva, when did he have the opportunity to give shiurim, to give classes on Kachim, that he's writing a book on it? So he says, you might wonder. So he says, I learned Kachim during Zman HaBeinayim, the time in between. That is what he calls, what we call Bein Hazmanim. The Zman Bein HaBeinayim. It's a Zman, it's a time. It's a time in between two other times. But the month of Nisan is a time. It's an opportunity. It's a break from the ordinary tight schedule, the pace that we're in classes, etc. It's an opportunity to sit back and learn something new, something different, something that they don't teach in yeshiva, something that you really have a craving for that you don't have that opportunity to research. Yes, we have to relax, we have to enjoy, we have to recharge, it's true. But it's a zman, it's a time that we'll never get back. Like Rav Noach used to say, he said, time's worth money, and you throw the dollars out the window. You never just throw money out the window, but you charge for your hour. Every hour that we lose is gone. It's a zman, abinayim, it's a zman in between two other types of times. I once heard from Rabbi Weinfeld an interesting play on letters. This will help us to remember this. He says, if you take the letters O-W-N, own, to own something, right? And you flip around the letters, you get N-O-W, now. He says, if you own the now, meaning you look at today, this minute, right now, I can own this time. I don't have to sleep it away. I don't have to pass it away. I don't have to just kill time. What a terrible term. Kill time. That means I have an opportunity. Well, let's kill it. So I won't use it. Terrible. If I could own the now, so then you've W-O-N. You've won. You have been successful. If we could own the now, if we could say, there's an opportunity. What am I going to do now with my day? How am I going to maximize my day? Okay, maybe it means I'm going to help out my parents. I'm going to clean for Pesach. I'm going to learn a little bit about Pesach. I'm going to prepare for the Seder night. I'm going to meet some family members or friends that I didn't have the opportunity to meet because I've been busy in yeshiva. These are all tremendous opportunities that we could capitalize on. But we can't just go in there and say, oh, I just got to chill. You can relax and you can have fun. And that's healthy and important. But let's plan how we're going to do that. We have this week, a few more days, to plan how we could be proactive and in the driver's seat, and we're the force to figure out how we can maximize the month after. What are the things that we want to accomplish? We have a list. I have my paper over here in my pocket that I write down over the course of this week. I have to meet with this person. I have to pay this bank. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have my list of things that I proactively have to accomplish that I haven't been able to do right now. I want to learn this Masechta. I want to learn this Parsha. I have things that I want to accomplish, and I make my list. Try to make sure that the list is realistic. But it's not just about, okay, I had an inspiring 5 months. I got to make sure how to keep my head above water over the next month. I just want to make sure that I can make it through until I start up again with my friends and my rabbis on top of me. No, that's not, that's basic. We want to build. We want to own the now. We want to grow. We want to accomplish. We want to be able to walk out after that whole month. A whole month is a lot of time. We want to be able to walk out after that month and say, look what I did. Look at the Dvar Torahs that I wrote. Look at all these things that I prepared on Pesach that I'm now going to be able to use for the rest of my life. One day, Mirz Hashem, we're all going to have our own Pesach Seder, and I pull out my notes that I heard from my rabbis. I looked up in books when I had a little more time in my hands. I prepared it. I have it. I could say it over again. I could use it again. Well, so many of us will have opportunities to be at other people's Seders. What did we learn from there? What did we accomplish? What were the ways they taught their kids and inspired their kids? Let's take those lessons. Let's write it down afterwards so we can remember it and keep it forever. There are so many opportunities that we can have for growth over the next month. But we have to go into that Zman HaBeinayim, to that time in between, with our goals, with our hopes and aspirations, so that we could come out super strong. We want to be proactive. We want to be milking the time and using it. It's not a bein hazmanim. It's not a nothing time. It's not a gap period where there's nothing going on. Dead space. Just, we got to get through it. We want to be in the driver's seat, moving and gaining and gaining and gaining. And that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying that the hafsaka, so what was the point of these breaks? What were the points of the breaks if it wasn't just about stopping something and starting something new? And Rashi says the point of the breaks were for Moshe to stop and think and process everything that he learned. He used that time. He used that space. He used that state of non-structure that we're not just moving ahead. He used it to process everything that he learned, ask questions, go back and review, call your rabbi and said, you know, I was thinking about the Gemara that you taught me. It makes no sense. Go after him. So what, he's busy cleaning for Pesach? That's not your problem. You have a kasha, you go back. Write him an email. Call him up. Send him a text. How do you explain this pasuk? I have this philosophical question. I need it answered now, rabbi. It's okay. I give you permission. Go. Use the time. It's such a tremendous opportunity. Having structure and having the infrastructure that we have here and all the rabbis on us and the friends and the whole energy that exists here, which is so, so amazing, is extremely healthy and very helpful. But it's also good sometimes for us to have another limud, something that doesn't fit into the structure. And this is our opportunity. We have opportunities right now to use this time very, very, very well and to grow in ways that sometimes we can't even grow during the regular Zman. So my bracha to all of us that we should use the next few days, tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to sit there, have our papers and our pens, papers in the pockets, to to try to figure out, what am I going to accomplish? What are going to be my goals of the next month? You want to sit with a rabbi, a mentor, a friend, just to make sure that they're realistic. Maybe there's other things you're not thinking about. Use the time now when you have those people, those resources in front of your face. And then we should all be zocha to be able to have an extremely successful zman in between the two zmans, so that when we come into the Pesach new semester, we're on fire. We're just going to continue to build off everything that we accomplished and grew spiritually and intellectually over that next month. And we'll just become bigger and bigger and bigger as we move forward towards the end of the school year. Wishing everyone a tremendous amount of atzlacha, an amazing week. Use it to its fullest. And we should only be successful.